The book of Joshua, chapter 24, beginning at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So far the reading. The overarching theme for this week in our chapel observances, as you notice, has to do with Christian marriage and home and family. This theme has long been discussed in this week of the church year because of the influence of the Old Standard Gospel, which describes Jesus' attendance at a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. He chose that setting for the very first of his great epiphanies or manifestations of his divine glory at the beginning of his ministry, through that miracle of the changing of water into wine at a wedding. Many couples have chosen that account as the text for their wedding sermon. An Old Testament reading which often pops up in this same context is the one that we just heard from Joshua chapter 24. These words are also frequently used as the text for wedding sermons. And that is a very fine and admirable thing, for a couple to establish marriage and home, expressing the thought of Joshua in his famous words, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In many Christian homes, you will find those words displayed on plaques and ornamental wall hangings of various kinds. And now I suppose it might seem logical for me to use the next few minutes to deliver to you an exhortation, both to you who look forward to the establishment of marriages, homes, and families of your own, and to you who already have experienced these things. The exhortation might contain much sound reasoning about the necessity and the great benefits connected with making the worship of God the foundation of your home. A family that prays together stays together, promises an old saying. The exhortation might include a ringing peroration to inspire your enthusiasm to resolve to do certain things in your life, to make the correct choices that will guarantee for you the right kind of marriage, home, and family. The problem is that in so doing, I might in fact be violating this very text that I've been assigned to preach to you today. So let's examine Joshua's words a bit. There are several places in the Bible in which an old and respected leader of long standing gives his valedictory, his farewell address to the people of Israel. The longest block of material of this kind in the Bible is, of course, the whole book of Deuteronomy, in which Moses delivers his farewell message to Israel. Joshua chapter 24 gives us the final words to the people of Israel of the great leader who succeeded Moses and led the conquest of the promised land of Canaan. It has been pointed out, especially in the last half century or so, that Joshua chapter 24 has a distinct structure or pattern to it, just as you would follow an established pattern if you were writing a business letter or drawing up a legal contract of some kind. Joshua was following an established pattern. The pattern or formula for composition was the same pattern that was used for drawing up treaties or international agreements between the powers of the ancient world. Some of the parts of the pattern were the following. First of all, a clear statement identifying the parties who were involved in the agreement. Secondly, a review of the history leading up to the establishment of the agreement. Then the specific obligations of the parties entering into the agreement. and then a spelling out of the good things that would happen if the agreement is observed and the bad things that would happen if the agreement is violated. And finally, a listing of witnesses to the process. All of these elements are found in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua was carefully constructing a model for the people of Israel to use in thinking about their relationship with their God. The chapter begins with the gathering of the leaders of Israel at a place called Shechem in the midst of the land of Israel, where Joshua addressed the people as God's representative. And then comes a review of the history of the people of Israel up to that point. He shows how God graciously called Abraham out of the idol-worshipping culture of his homeland, gave to Abraham great promises, and sent him on his way to the promised land. And then he traces the history through all the generations of the patriarchs, down through the years of slavery in Egypt, the exodus from Egypt, the miraculous deliverance at the sea when the waters were parted, the years of wandering in the wilderness, the conquest of the land, and right down to what was the present time for them. This historical review is a recitation and celebration of the great saving acts of God by which he made Israel his chosen people by grace alone. And then comes the section in which the obligations of the people of Israel are presented, and these obligations are laid out in three imperatives: fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and get rid of the gods of your ancestors. In other words, Joshua was saying through all of this, God has made you his own. You are his kingdom of priests and his holy nation. Now give him honor and deep respect by acknowledging this. And then he says something very interesting. If this seems evil to you, to honor the God who chose you and made you his own and to serve him alone, then here's the choice before you. Here's the choice that you are capable of making. You can either serve the gods your ancestors served on the other side of the river Euphrates back in Mesopotamia, or you can serve the gods of the Amorite people whose land you are taking over. Remarkable reasoning. God has chosen you and made you his own. But the choosing that you are capable of carrying out is which form of paganism, which form of false religion you want to practice. And then come Joshua's famous words. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Was Joshua trying to establish his superiority over everyone else? Was he saying, well, the rest of you aren't capable of making the right choice, but I can? Well, I don't think so. That reasoning would be a violation of everything that he had just said in his review of the saving acts of God. Joshua's statement is a creed. It's a confession of faith, which God alone can enable a person to embrace and utter. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, Jesus said to his faithful. And so it is with all confessions of genuine faith. They are worked by the grace of God alone. Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." God has made you his own. His Son has redeemed you by his life, death, and resurrection, and he gives you that redemption in the clear and blessed gospel message that you are absolved of all sin and guilt. You are his New Testament chosen generation, his royal priesthood, his holy nation, called out of darkness like the Israelites of old into his marvelous light. It is the work of God that you should believe this. He enables you to say from the heart, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He enables you to make those words your own not in self-righteous pride in the ability of your will and intellect to make right decisions and choices, but in the humility of dependence on his grace and his mercy and in gratitude for his benefits. Blessed are you in that confession.